The Old Testament lesson for this day of Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. And I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear? Each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes. comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. John, 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think a day went by this last week where something shocking or appalling didn't happen. The Supreme Court issued a ruling that, to me, makes perfect sense. Federal government can't legislate uniform rules, or can legislate uniform rules. It can leave the rules completely to the states, but it can't demand that the states regulate in different ways. If Nevada gets sports gambling, and New Jersey and New York want sports gambling, then they have the authority as co-equal states. The judgment feels right, but its effects are noxious. But they are of a poison so slight that it almost feels quaint. In the course of two generations, we've gone from a nation known for its can-do infectious belief and work ethic to a nation whose growth industry for our area is gambling. Those Americans from a couple generations ago would have added degenerate before gambler automatically. Instead of being a land of opportunity where the pie can grow, punter nations are winner take all, where every winner is matched with a loser. And the mask of God goes from a warm providence to a capricious fate. Bones. Tom Wolfe, maybe the chronicler of that decline, who in his work would force a comparison between the Mercury astronauts who had the right stuff and the emerging fixed pie hustlers of radical chic when it was limited to a slice into Bonfire of the Vanities when it was a city, into Charlotte Simmons when it was the entire future, Tom Wolfe and his sharp social eye and raw courage to report it passed away. Bones. There were two attacks. Someone walked into one of Trump's golf clubs, but that man was stopped. A kid walked into another high school, this time in Texas, and killed 10. We can stop the golf course, but not the school. Bones. But what is probably more troubling is that this is obviously now the received operating life script. When things don't go as you plan, not a Christian nod to the cross, to the filling up of the sufferings of Christ, not a pointing to Seneca or Marcus Aurelius and Stoic virtue, although Jordan Peterson is trying. Not a single look at ourselves as how do we keep missing these kids? And what might we be doing that is driving that despair such that a blaze of glory seems like the right? Bones. And I might add, just to crown the week, all that time spent pondering and dreaming about a wedding between a playboy now sixth in line to the throne without any power, an American actress best known for an amusing role on a cable soap. That oldest institution marrying the newest. Completely frivolous event, commanding the attention of the Archbishop of Canterbury, the presiding bishop of the American Episcopal Church, and apparently much of both nations. And it's hard to determine who made the better deal, the actress acquiring a dead title, or the title barons acquiring some dead buzz. Bones. I could do this all day. We are surrounded by bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. There were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Ezekiel was a prophet at such a time. He was born into a priestly line, and he was born at the last great flowering of religion in Judah, King Josiah's reforms. But those reforms ended up being surface only. They didn't sink into the bones. Those bones remained dry. And by the end of his book, Ezekiel is writing by the banks of the river in Babylon in exile. He had done his part, along with Jeremiah, a contemporary, to warn them. The visible images of the shepherds abusing the sheep and the promise of a good shepherd. The command to measure the temple and the vision of the presence of the Lord leaving. Along with many others that he recorded. But the bones were dry. It would seem that the 2 millennium heritage of the covenant of the Lord given to Abraham and given to Moses would die in this generation. That would be the natural conclusion. But the Lord took him out into the valley and asked Zeke, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I'm not exactly sure how to take Ezekiel's answer. It could be humility, not wanting to venture an answer, "Lord God, you know." But it could also be that spark of Abraham arguing with God over Sodom and Moses arguing with God amongst this great people. Not my job to know God. Lord God, it's your job. You tell me, do we die here, dry bones? Are your promises just dry bones? Or does your promise, your covenant with these bones live? Lord God, you know. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. Speak the word of the Lord over these bones. Say to these long, dry bones, hear the word. Hear the promise of God. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And as he spoke that word, it happened. The word of the Lord goes out and it does what it says. The word of the Lord goes out and testifies and fulfills the promises of God. But it's not just the word that testifies. If it was just that word, it's not clear exactly how that might help us. We might be knit back together, but there was no breath in them. We can hear the word of the law, and we can know that it is good and right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole of the Ten Commandments. Surely we know that these are right. But that doesn't mean we do them. That doesn't mean that there is breath in us to will it. But the promise of God is not just to let us know we can't keep it. God speaks again to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, preach to the breath. Thus says the Lord, come, that they might live. And Zeke preached, and the breath came. They lived. And stood. No longer bones, but an army. The whole house of Israel, the people of God together. And that includes you. Ezekiel isn't just seeing Judah in exile. He isn't just seeing old Israel. He's seeing the whole of Israel gathered. And we always have a temptation to despair, to look at the bones and say, we are dried up, to look at the strength and say, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. We can despair as a people, we could despair as a church, we could have our private moments of despair. And that's right where Satan wants you. Poor me, it's over. As Job's wife would encourage him, get it over already, Job. Curse God and die. But those are the moments that we need the promise of 50 days ago. Behold, I will open your graves and I will raise you from your graves, O my people. We've seen that Easter miracle. We know that this one is a God who keeps his promises. We know that this is a God who works through death and resurrection. And whatever dying is in us right now is right now struggling out of that grave that we have been called from. Those dry bones have heard the word proclaimed, he's risen, and we are rising. We need that Easter. But we also need Pentecost. Because this flesh isn't enough. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities. We fight against Satan. We fight against those spirits that are constantly telling us we might as well give in. You know it's meaningless. Death gets us all. And if this flesh was all that we had, we can't fight them. But the Lord promised to Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. His spirit is always with us. From the moment that your heart heard the word and believed it, from the moment those baptismal waters hit you, it drove out all of those other unclean spirits and made you clean. The Spirit deigns to dwell with us most lowly. And that Spirit has manifested itself in many and various ways. It's come in power, in signs and wonders. It's come in the foolishness of preaching. It's even come in silence, when we quiet ourselves and let him draw near. But however the Spirit has come, it's come in one mission. You shall know that he is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the witness of the Spirit. And in that witness, we have life. Not just here and now, because his kingdom is not just here. His kingdom is the one that has no end. Today, right now, that Spirit calls our dry bones to attention. Christ is risen. You shall rise. And everything that he has is yours. You are not cut off. Christ has claimed you for all eternity. You are not without hope, because the word is true. God keeps his promises. And you are not dry bones, because the Spirit breathes you living. Know that Jesus is Lord, and live. Amen.